Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And, of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host today, and I am broadcasting live from really cold Atlanta, Georgia, but it is a gorgeous day here. So grateful that you have joined me today, and I know that if you are listening, that means that the Spirit of God has attracted you here, and that God has specific answers just for you at the beginning of this new year. And I'm so grateful for that. For all of my international listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. And for those of you who have just recently found this podcast, I am so grateful that you're now listening to me. Well, how are you doing? How is the new year coming for you? I know you're doing well. I have some questions for you later on in the show to really help you stay on track. Well, it's been a really cold week here in Atlanta, and sometimes people say, Constance, you live in the South. I didn't know that you guys really received that much cold weather. As a matter of fact, guess what? We got a couple of snow flurries this week. And when it snows in Atlanta, or even when there's any slight mention of snow, the whole city just goes kind of wild. You know, I was talking to one of my clients, I think they live, I can't remember, somewhere in New York, and they thought it was so funny that I had never really driven in the snow. So it has been an interesting week. Well, I'm really excited about the show today. I realized something. I said, do you know something, Constance? I do talk to myself sometimes. Did you realize that all of the people that have been guests on your show have been males or men? And, you know, I love you guys, but I said I've got to have some girl power back on my show. And so today I'm going to be teaching. I know you're excited about that. I am. And next week we're going to have some more girl power. And so I am really excited about that. I am lining up just some great guests and great experts that can really help you. You know, it's so interesting and it's so great just to have different people who God has given different revelation to that they can share with you and that you can begin to what implement in your life. Well, this is my last reminder about my one-time yearly coaching special. So many of you have taken advantage of that. Once a year, I offer 20% off of my yearly and my half-year coaching because beginning February the 1st, my prices are going to go back to normal. And for the first time, I'm offering a payment plan for my those of you who might be interested in yearly coaching. And it sort of goes like this. The payment is divided up into three parts, and so you coach, and then you pay, and then you coach, and then a couple of months down the road, you coach, and then you pay. And so that gives you the opportunity to change your consciousness and really begin to do something different for this year. So go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com and take advantage of my coaching specials. You've heard my guest, and you know that I am a reputable therapist. Well, today I'm going to be talking about two things. I was really divided. I am going to be talking about how to discover your purpose or awaken to your purpose or find out what your purpose is. And then I said, but it is the beginning of the year, and I really wanted to touch base with you to find out how you are doing. So I'm going to be talking about two things. The first part of the show will be devoted to taking a look at this, how you've been at the beginning of the year. I'm going to call it a 30-day inventory to see what you are doing, and just to give you a couple of reminders that you should remember doing this year. So you know that I'm going to take my time. I want you to get out your iPad, your pen, and your pencil, and I want you to take copious notes, and I will be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Need to find some experienced help that can guide you into that life change you're seeking? Visit the Law of Attraction Radio Network's LOA store, where you'll find our recommended experts, must-have books, and other tools that will shift you into that new life. World-class teachers, feng shui and astrology experts, energy healers, intuitives, each one endorsed by the LOA Radio Network. Visit LOARadionetwork.com and click on LOA store. Remember, the help you need is just a click away.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Okay, so let's get started. You know, it's January the 27th, and what have you done differently? How have you been thinking differently, etc.? So the first part of the program I'm going to be devoting to taking a look at and just reminding you about a couple of things. You know, I always say that it is an inside job, and that if you want something different, you have to do something different. So these are just quick little reminders about some things that you should either be being, I don't know if that's correct English or not, are doing. Number one, you already know what I'm going to say. Get clear about what you want for 2013. Have you done that? You need to set clear intentions for 2013, because once you have your intentions or your goals written down, the entire universe, the whole world, really conspires to help you, to empower you to get what you want for this year. So the main way that you get clarity is writing your goals down. Remember, I always say that writing your goals down is a form of prayer. And you know, it's the 27th, almost 30 days into the new year, and I am amazed at how many people who I talk to who listen to my show and they still don't have their goals written down. Are you one of those? Let me see your hands out there. Okay. So in my own personal life, it's different. A lot of people take the first 30 days of a new year and they pray and fast. I understand that. And what I've done was sort of done the same thing. So now I'm really just clear about the direction in which I really feel that God is taking me for the new year. So now I am able to really write down very clearly what my goals are. And at the beginning of the year, I asked you to write down your three major goals for this year. And I said three because you don't really want to overwhelm yourself. So one thing that you can really check off of your inventory is, have you written down your goals? And, you know, I talked to three millionaires this week, and it's so interesting. None of them know each other, but each one of them said that they not only write their goals down, but they rewrite them every day. Remember Trevor Blake, who went from $1,000 to $100 million in 5 years, sold that company and did it again? He said that even after 25 years, he's still doing the same thing. So the first thing to check out for your inventory is having your goals written down. The second thing, and this would be a way of being, is this year in 2013, it will be done to you according to what you believe, or I call it the law of faith. And so you have to believe that your goals and your intentions will manifest with you. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And I included this one as something that I wanted you to remember, because this is a universal law. This is the law of faith that acts on your belief, and it's limited to your belief. So if you can believe in a little good, then that's what's going to come into you. A little good is going to come into you. If you can believe for a lot of good is going to come to you. This week, I heard, and I think I heard it from Jaden Sterling, who was on my show. He said that $41 trillion is exchanged daily in the U.S. Isn't that awesome? So that means that there's not a lack of money. So why not set your intention so that even if you just wanted 100,000 of that, or half a million, or a million, or 2 million, remember, be it unto you according to your faith. The law of faith is always reflecting in your mental attitude. You know, I think it was one day last week or a couple of weeks ago, I posted on Facebook, and by the way, if you're not following me on Facebook, you should. This is a great reminder. My assistant always reminds me, Constance, remember to remind people to follow you on Facebook and Twitter. And what I said was, all the good that there is mine. And that's what I thought for that day, and that's what I think every day. That's what I'm thinking today. And I believed it with certainty, and it really produced a higher good. So remember this year that faith is a law, and it's just like the law of gravity. And I really believe that the law of faith, or be it done unto you according to your faith, is one of the most important principles that you need to implement in your life for 2013. Because it's impossible to arrive at the grandeur of possibilities through small thinking and small ideas. Aren't you tired of that? So this year, at the beginning of the year, I want you to remember that you need to expand your faith to believe God for more. Let's start thinking big, because remember, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you're operating in this powerful law of faith, you're going to be in a place of expectancy. What do I mean by that? You're going to expect for things to change, expect for things to happen. You're going to be expecting more joy, more happiness, more love, more health, more harmony, more success. And I'm going to ask you to even believe for things to change before the end of the month. We have how many days? Maybe 4 to 5 days. God can miraculously change your life in an accelerated amount of time. A great example of changing the way you think, and be it unto you according to your faith, this came to my remembrance as I was preparing for you today. I remember when I got my first Mercedes, I was going to get the C-Class, and there's nothing wrong with the C-Class, but I chose the C-Class because I couldn't afford the E-Class. I really liked the E-Class, but I couldn't afford it. So I went to the dealership, and something spiritual happened to me as I was walking in. As I walked into the showroom, I saw the front of a E320, and I felt deep down on the inside of me that the Spirit was saying to me, Constance, it takes the same faith to believe for the C-Class as it does for the E-Class. Be it unto you according to your faith. So I went in, and I told the man, initially I wanted to look at the C-Class, but I'm going to try to get the E-Class. And so since my faith had expanded, even though I was very nervous, guess what? I ended up getting the E-Class. That's what I love. That's what I drive now. But had I never changed my thinking, I would have been limiting God. So what am I saying? I'm saying a second principle that you really need to remember at the beginning of 2013 is be it unto you according to what you believe. Think big, expect big, and that's what you'll get. Alrighty, we're moving along. Another thing that I want you to remember at the beginning of 2013 is that you are a magnet. The law of magnetism. You said, Constance, what in the world is that? The law of magnetism says that you only attract the same kind of energy that you put out. It's really based on the quantum physics principle that everything, including every person, every experience that comes into your life, is because of the law of magnetism. How many of you have seen a magnet and that whether it's positive or negative, it will attract into its life or into the life of the magnet whatever you hold it to? So, in fact, the universe is filled with vibrations, and the scientists are now calling it streams of energy. And it moves within us, from us, and around us. And so, basically, your personal energy moves out from you, and whatever that is going to connect with others or other things or other experiences of like resonance, determining both whom and what you will attract into your life. Think about that. That's the law of magnetism. And so you're like a little radio station. You're constantly broadcasting signals out from yourself, and you are attracting those people, those situations back into your life. So I really want you to think about your thinking this year. So the law of attraction is unfailing. That means that it can't fail. It's giving you every single thing in your life based on what you're giving out. Man, think about that. That gets back to personal responsibility. So when people say to me, Constance, I'm thinking positive. No, you aren't. You might be in the beginning stages of thinking positive, but you really need to begin to allow that process to continue in your life until you resonate with abundance, wealth, or love. And so you magnetize and receive the circumstances of wealth, health, relationships, your job, your career, whatever it is. So at the beginning of the year, think about, I'm a magnet. You're either a negative one or a positive one. Which one are you? So if you give out positive thoughts and positive feelings about money, what are you going to happen? What's going to happen for you? Wealth. If you give out negative thoughts about relationships, what's going to happen? Negative relationships. So once again, it boils down to what? Personal responsibility for your thoughts. You've heard me say that everything in the universe revolves around two things, words and thoughts. And those two things are two powerful magnets. So whatever you continually think in the inner corridors of your mind will eventually manifest in the external part of your world. So think about this year, I'm going to really be aware of the law of magnetism and that it is at work in my life right now. All right, we're talking about things that we really need to be really considering in our lives at the beginning of the year. These are really, this is like a checklist or an inventory. So we've written down what we want. We understand that it's going to be unto us according to what we think, the law of faith. We talked about the law of magnetism. Now, the fourth thing I want to talk to you or remind you is that you need to really visualize what you want with as much feeling, power, and emotion as if you've already had it. You heard Harry Carpenter talking about getting into that alpha state or that hypnotic state or that sleepy state or that relaxed state, and then really seeing your intentions coming to pass and acting like you already have it. You know, I've been doing that every night. I put night works for me. Morning, my mind is just sort of like all over the place. You know, it might work for you in the morning, but you have to understand your own personality and find out what works for you. So I put my headsets on, and I just put on some soft music, and I just relax. And then there are times when I have an index card, and I may look at one of my goals, and then I'd close my eyes and visualize it just like I have it now. What would that experience feel like if I already had it in my life? What would wealth or love or my new career or my new home, what would that feel like if I already had it in my life? So visualizing your intentions is important. And then the last thing, these are just little sweet quick reminders for the new year. You need to speak affirmations daily concerning your goals. You know, words are creative. Whatever you say, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're created in the image and likeness of God. God said, let there be light, and what there was light. So your words need to be, I'm so happy and grateful now that maybe I'm at my ideal weight. I'm so happy and grateful now that large sums of money flow continually in my accounts. So those are five little things that I want to remind you that you need to be doing at the beginning of 2013 in order to really begin to manifest something different in your life. Because if you want something different, you have to be or do something different. Alrighty, well, I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope that you see yourself moving right along. Okay, let's take a deep breath in. We're going to let it out. Now we're going to be talking about purpose. You know, this is something that many people ask me, and I've been thinking about doing this show for a while, but I just feel that at the beginning of the year, it's just the right timing. So we're going to be talking about, how do you discover your purpose? How do you awaken to your purpose? How can you find your purpose? How can you find out what are you supposed to be doing here on earth? You know, if all you're doing is getting up, going to work, coming home, taking care of the children, looking at the news, going to sleep, that may feel like that's not a very purposeful life, and I know what that's like. So what are you going to do with your life, and why do you feel that you were put here on earth by God at this time? And you know, you hear me talk a lot about wealth and success and mindset, and I'm all for that. But the most important thing that you can do is not to amass a lot of wealth, it's not a lot of fame, but it's to find out, why am I here on earth at this time? You know, you could have been born in another century. You could have been born in another country. Why are you on earth at this time? So that is a question that I believe that most people ask themselves on a daily basis. So let me just say, I believe that from birth, we're all looking for purpose and significance in our lives. And on the inside of us, we know that there is something bigger. I've heard people say, Constance, I know that I should be doing more with my life. I mean, you've heard a lot of millionaires on my show say, you know, I have all the money, but now I'm about serving and significance. And for those of you who are searching, I want to say God is not trying to keep your purpose from you. But really, God created you for the purpose, and he's trying to reveal it to you. I believe that the difficulty comes when you are going through tough times, and I certainly have been through those. Possibly you have or are experiencing the death of a loved one. Maybe you've gotten a terrible report from your doctor. You might have lost your house. Maybe you were married for 25 years and all of a sudden that person isn't there. And you might say, Constance, how can that be purposeful? I feel so alone. I feel scared. What's happening in my life? Nothing is the same in my life. I had one of my clients who had worked faithfully for a company for 21 years, and they're saying, we're going to let you go. So how can those most difficult moments bring purpose in our lives? And I'm going to say that the first thing that I'm going to say to you, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself, is that purpose takes many forms. I know that when you're going through tough times, it may not look like purpose, but those are the times and the experiences and the situations where God is really forming you. And as the Bible says, God works out all things together for my good. So if God is included in your equation, then what you're going through right now, those most difficult places, will help to form your purpose. And for people who don't believe in God, I don't really know what to tell you. I know in my own life there were many seasons that I did not understand. So you're living at this time for a reason. Like I said, no matter what you are going through or have gone through, you're still alive, and God has a plan or a purpose for your life. So, as I said earlier, purpose takes many forms. For example, right now you may be a single mom raising children, so right now your purpose might be to raise those children. Later on, once they leave and go to college, that will change. You might be a baby boomer and you are retired, but right now your purpose might be mentoring others in the area of business. And so that's just an example of how purpose takes different forms. Let me share with you a little bit about my journey. Some of you know little glimpses of my journey. I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, went to college, had my master's degree. I have one degree in business and one in counseling. I had my master's degree by the time I was 21. Of course, all of you know I was very performance-based, and for years I struggled. For years, I didn't even use my counseling degree. I worked in the area of business, but that always felt uncomfortable for me, and I felt lost. I said, God, I don't feel purposeful. I worked at IBM, and it's an awesome company. I said, I don't feel purposeful. I feel like I'm just going through the motion. And so I did that for years, and I finally started a private practice. And at first I started working with children, but that didn't work. And then I started doing groups for women, and there seemed to be a connection there. And so it seemed that I should work with women and empowering women. I started doing 12-step groups, those kinds of things. But then in my own life, I started having problems in relationships. And I'm like, where did this come from? And so I was in and out of relationships that didn't work, and I chose relationships beneath me. I went through a traumatic divorce, etc. But God was working all of those things for my good during those very turbulent, difficult years. I call them the silent years, where it looks like things aren't working. And so what happened after then was I started speaking and doing support groups. I started going to churches, teaching them how to conduct support groups for their members. And then I started doing a lot of keynotes. And over the years, all of those things worked together for my good. I spoke all over the state of Georgia. I had major $100,000, you know, $200,000, $300,000 contracts, where I began to speak, etc. And so now, here I am, coaching people all over the world, speaking all over the world, author. But all of those silent years, all of those difficult times were a part of my purpose to form and make me the woman that I am today. I could not speak to you as powerfully had I not gone through those difficult times. I could not speak to you and really connect with you had I not gone through those difficult times. So the first thing I want you to remember is that all things, all of your experiences are working together for your good. All righty, well, if you're just joining me, I'm Constance Arlen, and I'm talking about how to awaken to, how to discover, how to explore your purpose. And I'm going to give you 15 things today that are going to really help you to do that, but I just want to make some general statements first. For me, because I'm a Christian, it all starts with God. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is greater than your own personal fulfillment, your own peace of mind, even your own happiness, your fame, or your glory. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams or ambition. I believe believe that if you want to know why you were placed here on earth, that you must begin with God. You must begin with God has placed me here for a specific reason. So it's all about God. It's all about your relationship with Spirit. And I know a lot of people have a problem with the word God. They say universe, but for me, it's God. So do you understand that? So that means that if God is the one who formed you, He knows what your purpose is. The second thing I want you to remember is that you're not an accident. Your birth was no mistake or mishap. And your life is no fluke of nature. Some days you may feel like, why am I here? You know, your parents may not have planned you. Maybe you don't even know your dad. You don't have a relationship with your dad. But I believe that God even works through human error and failings. And He's not surprised by your birth. In fact, He expected it. And since He expected it, He is alive in you. And like the Bible says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for you. Your height, your race, where you were born, it's all for a specific purpose. And, you know, when you know your purpose, you can really focus your life. You see, I know my purpose now. For years I didn't, and I floundered. People ask me, Constance, can you help me discover my purpose? Of course I can. I had many mentors who really helped me discover my purpose, and I'm getting just a little bit ahead of myself. So if you know your purpose, it helps you to focus your life. My life is very focused because it keeps you concentrating your energy and your effort on what's important, and you become effective by being selective. Let me say that again. You become effective by being selective. I'm very selective. I have people ask me, can you come and speak to the Girl Scout troop? No, I can say no to that because that's not my purpose right now. Can you come and speak to the homeless people? No, been there, done that. That's not my purpose right now. My purpose right now, and as I said, your purpose would change and take different forms as you go through life. My purpose right now and my effort and my energy is in the area of coaching, in the area of speaking, and my radio show. All right, knowing your purpose energizes your life. Purpose always produces passion. You know, I've had a very long week this week, a very, how can I say, demanding week. But when I got up this morning to do the radio show, I was energized. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know, and nothing motivates like a clear purpose. And on the other hand, conversely, when passion dissipates because you don't have a lack of purpose, you may get up and say, I don't know why I slept last night, but I'm just tired and I don't have a lot of energy, and just getting out of bed is a major chore and your work may seem meaningless. I was talking to a lady and she said, Constance, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And I told her, I said, if you believe that for the next 5 years that God has called you to stay at home with your children, which she said was her belief, then even when you're doing those routine, mundane chores like washing your dishes, nobody knows what you're doing. You may not even get any praise or accolades. You can say, God, I'm living a purposeful life. Even when you're changing diapers or Pampers and nobody sees that and it seems like such a mundane routine chore, you can say, thank you, God, because for this time in my life, guess what? I am living purposeful. So I'm going to give you 15 ways. I want you to listen very, very carefully. You know how I am, so that you can discover your purpose. How many of you are feeling frustrated? Let me see your hands out there. I'm looking. Constance, I'm just frustrated. I feel like I'm just going through the motions. All right, so here are some clues. The first thing is, number one, consider your unique talents. So clues to your purpose can be found in your unique talents and what you simply love to do. What are those? what are some talents that God deposited on the inside of you? Think about that for a minute. Maybe you're really great with people. I've seen some very talented people. How many of you know the Winans? They are singers. I mean, I've never seen them. It's B.B. Winans, C.C. Winans, Marvin Winans, and all of their children. I've never seen Pop and Mom Winans. I've never seen any family that could sing that well. Why is that? Because God put that unique talent on the inside of them, and everybody can sing. I think there are 9 children. All of them can sing. So that was probably very obvious for them. And just because that's a talent doesn't mean that it's not developed. So what are some of your talents? Are you great with children? Guess what? I realized early on that my work was not with children. I remember that I volunteered at my church to work in the nursery, and I said, nope, this is not my purpose or my calling. And even when I worked in the school system for about 7 years, I was a school counselor, and I loved the children, but I realized that my calling was, or my purpose was, or I felt more connected to, or the deposit of my talent was with adults. So, is your unique talent working with older adults? Oh my goodness, if that is a special talent. It takes such love, such compassion, such understanding, such patience to deal with older people. Or maybe you're just a little whiz. You're great with science and you're very curious and you like discovering things, etc. So I want you to, number one, get out a plain piece of paper and write down what are your talents. All right, number two. I want you to return to your childhood. You see, God deposits these talents and our purpose on the inside of us when we are children. And many times the issues of life, the dysfunctions of families, our traumatic experiences, all of those things just come and literally choke out what we love to do. I remember as a little girl, I used to get my 2 brothers, which they hated it, and I would say, come and let me teach you. And I would teach them my Bible stories. And we lived in the country, and so I would make them sit down, and I would start teaching them. Little did I know at that time that the gift of teaching, the gift of coaching was being developed and expressed on the inside of me. So what did you like to do as a little girl? Can you remember that? What did you love to do as a little girl? As a child, did you love styling your doll's hair? One of my clients came to me. She's a hairstylist, and she said, Constance, I can remember when I was a little girl, I used to take, what's the doll's name? I can't remember her name right now. I used to take my doll, and I would redesign her hair. And so that gift of creativity was on the inside of her as a child. But what happened was she experienced so much trauma in her life, and her experiences were so negative, she just pushed down that great purpose. And I'm going to say not all of the times, but many times, where your purpose is and where your passion is where your money is. We'll talk about more about that later. So what did you love as a child? Did you love dressing up dolls? I have another client who she said she used to take the doll clothes and remake them over. And so now she is a dress designer. So the second thing you're going to do is to really write down and think about, what did you love to do as a child? You know, children are so open. That's why they can learn 5 languages at one time. That's why they're so imaginative and creative. And somehow when we grow up, we sort of lose that. But I want you to go back to that and discover that. The third thing is, what makes you smile? What activities, people, events, hobbies, or projects move you? Would it be children who are free and playing? I was working with this one lady, and every time a child came into the office, she would just like, let me hold your baby. And I knew in her that she had a love and a passion for children. What makes you smile? Does empowering women, or when you go to women's meetings or conferences and you see that women are receiving empowering information, does that make you smile? What activities make you happy? What people or hobbies do you love? Do you love doing a lot of crafts? Are you creative? Do you love music? Are you innovative? Do you think out of the box? So I want you to write down what makes you smile. What activities do you love? Now someone took me to a sci-fi activity here in Atlanta, and I was so bored. But those people were so excited with it. Why? Because that was a part of their DNA. What hobbies do you love? Do you like going on the outside? Do you like working with small boys, mentoring boys? Think about that. All right. What are your favorite things? This is number four, I think. We're talking about how to discover your purpose or your passion. What are your favorite things to do in the past, or what about now? What do you love doing? One lady had a passion for travel. She just loved going all over the world. And we realized, because sometimes where your purpose and your passion is where your money is, she started a business of organizing cruises once a month for baby boomers and or for singles. And so because she loved travel, when she would travel, she would talk about the hotels. Oh, Constance, this is so beautiful. What was that? That was God who had put that passion and that purpose down on the inside of her. Or is one of your favorite things to do selling products? That's not my greatest talent. So I had a client, and he, from a little child, he had a business, I think at the age of 7, riding his bicycle, selling newspapers. And now he could sell anything. He could come to your door and you not even desire a vacuum cleaner, and before he leaves, you're going to be buying that vacuum cleaner, because that is his gift, that is his calling that has been really developed. Aristotle said that when talent and passion crosses, therein lies your calling. So when talent and passion crosses or intersects, therein lies your calling or your purpose. All right, the next one. What activities make you lose track of time? Have you ever been so tired and then somebody said, come on, let's go shopping, they have a 50% sale off? And all of a sudden you were energized. Why? Because you love shopping. Or have you ever just been working on something so exciting and you looked up and you said, oh my goodness, I can't believe it's noon. So what activities make you lose track of time? I had another client, sharing my client stories today, who loved shopping. She would go shopping and just carry clothes on her arm until her arm would go numb. She would be in the store for hours. Personally, I couldn't do it. So we later discovered that she loved shopping. She opened up a little thrift shop in her garage, and later on she opened up a consignment shop, because she could just for hours just go and look at everything, every color, every fabric, how it was made, etc. Or possibly painting or other creative work. You might get so involved in your painting, in your music, that you just lose track of time. So another component would be, what activities make you lose track of time? That, my dear sir, would be your passion or your purpose. All right, what makes you feel great about yourself? Think about that. That's another one. What makes you feel great about yourself? When you are mentoring children, do you feel great? Do you leave that school feeling great about yourself? When you are helping others, do you leave with a sense of fulfillment? Are you an organizer? Can you take a concept or an idea and just really develop the whole event and everybody walk in awe, and you are the person behind the scenes that has really organized or put that event together? What makes you feel great about yourself? I know personally, when I'm speaking, you know, usually when they're reading my bio and they're saying all those things about me, and I get up and I speak, and at the end, when I'm able to meet with people, and they say, wow, that really helped me, that really changed my life, or when I get emails from my clients, from my listeners all over the world, Constance, that really changed me, that really helped me, that's when I'm like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I want to say to you, you might be in a place where you are in the process of becoming. And so you'll have to begin to trust God. God, I don't understand this, but I believe that all of this is going to work for my good. And you're going to see later on that how you can take those difficult times and experiences and really begin to use them for purpose. All right, next one. Who inspires you most? It can be anybody you know. It can be family, friends, authors, famous people. Who inspires you most, and what are the qualities in that person that inspire you? I said for me, Oprah. And Oprah inspires me because of her tenacity, because of her hard work, and because of her ability to connect. See, I have that in me. I'm connecting with you. People always say, you're so real. So why do I identify with Oprah? Because I'm able to connect. Jennifer Hudson, the star. I really admire, and she inspires me. Why? Because she's disciplined. I saw her sing at the inauguration, and I looked at her body, and I said, wow. And why do I connect with that? Because I'm disciplined. Martin Luther King, he inspires me. Why? Because he marched to his own drum beat, and that's sort of how I am. I've always been a risk taker. So who inspires you? Write that down. Find out who that is and what are the qualities in that person that you can identify with. Next, what are you naturally good at? What skills, abilities, gifts, etc. do you have? Can you really just cook great gourmet food? I had a friend, and she's passed away, but she's transitioned. She could cook gourmet food, and you go to her house, and you feel like, oh, my God, come in and sit down, Constance. And, I mean, it was her natural gift, and I would say to her, how do you cook that? She said, oh, I don't know. I just put a pinch of that in and a little bit of that, et cetera. Or maybe you're great at entertaining. When people come in your house, they just feel at home. There's a warmth there. You know how to put together a great party. You know, Steve Jobs was naturally good at thinking big, thinking outside of the box, thinking how can I help people to communicate globally, etc. So write down, what are you naturally good at? Your skills, your abilities, etc. The next one, what do people typically ask you for help in? I'll talk about me again. At any event, they're going to ask me, Constance, I want you to do the icebreaker. Why? Because they know that I know how to connect people, how to open people up, etc. And something funny, I thought about this as I was preparing for this. If I'm going to an event and what do people typically ask your help with, and you have to bring food, they know I don't do a lot of cooking, so they would say, Constance, you bring the soda. You bring the soft drinks. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I know my place. So what do people typically ask your help in? Is it solving problems? Is it organizing events? Is it getting people together to work cooperatively together? What is that? So think about that. And I want you to look at the common thread. What is the common thread that's showing up in your life as you're answering all of these questions? I tell people when I coach them, I want you to think of the three most important events that have happened in your life and what is the common thread. For me, for an example, the first one might have been speaking. The second one might have been traveling internationally, coaching. And the third one might have been training for 10,000 people. What's the common thread in that? Communication, speaking, training. So that's what we're looking for. All right, the next one is, if you had to teach something, what would you teach? Would you teach people on success? Would you be interested in teaching young boys how to become a man? Would you be interested in teaching how to start a business? What would you want to teach? And if you think about that, whatever comes out of you, it comes from the place of purpose. All right, the next one is, what would you regret not fully doing, being, or having in your life? Okay, that will get you in touch with your purpose. For me, it would be not living fully each day or not empowering others. So what would you regret not fully doing, being, or having in your life? Write that down and think about what that is. That is your purpose. Next, when you're 90 years old and you're sitting in your rocking chair on your porch, and of course you're healthy and you feel the spring breeze gently brushing against your face, and you're happy and you're blissful and you're pleased with your life and you feel blessed, looking back over your life and all that you have achieved and acquired, what would you share with people about what you're most the most important factors that they need to consider? For me, I would tell people, put God first, serve others, deal with your issues, develop your talents and abilities, change your self-image, have rituals every day. You see what I mean? So that's looking back is what I would tell people. That's what I would teach people. So those things would be what my purpose would be. The next one you might want to consider in order to awaken to discover or explore your purpose is, what are your deepest values? You know, what are your deepest values? I mean, what moves you? What disturbs you? It might be family. It might be justice and equality, that you just cannot stand to see justice not being given to all people, all races. It might be changing the youth. What are your deepest values? The next one is, what are some challenges, difficulties, and hardships that you've overcome or are in the process of overcoming. Let me say that again. What were some challenges, difficulties, and hardships you've overcome or are in the process of overcoming? I said it. It might be overcoming alcoholism, that you've done that and you've had 20 years sobriety. That's your purpose. It might be starting a business after you failed 3 times. That's your purpose that you could share with others. It might be healed of cancer, and now you can help other people. It might be a loss of a child to death, and now they have mothers against drunk drivers. Can you see that? So those difficult times, those challenges, those difficulties, somebody said wherever your mess is where your mission is. I heard Les Brown say that his difficulties have made him a multi-millionaire because he shares his story about how he overcame. So can you see that? What causes do you strongly believe in or connect with? I touched on this a little bit earlier. Maybe the weight loss cause. Maybe you've lost 100 pounds and you want to tell people, this is how you lose weight. Maybe empowering women. Maybe you want to deal with young children. What causes, when you see them, you just said, that is not right, and you have an answer for it? That might be your purpose. All right, the next one is, if you could get a message across to a large group of people, who would those people be? What would your message be? It might be to baby boomers who've been downsized and now don't know what to do with themselves. It might be with teenage African American or minority boys. So what message do you have on the inside of you that God has really deposited that you could help people? So, given the talents that you have, the passions and the values, looking at your life, how could you use these resources to serve, to help, to leave a legacy, and to contribute? to people, to beings, to causes, to organizations, to the planet, to the environment, etc. Might be education, starting a school for girls, causes, etc. So can you see how you can begin to discover what your purpose is? The first thing is, I think we talked about 15 different things. After you've written all of the things down, take a look at the common thread and begin where you are. Maybe you can't quit your job right now, but if your cause is children, once a week you're going to begin to volunteer helping children. You're going to begin volunteering speaking for women's groups. You're going to begin helping one person at a time lose weight. You're going to start where you are. So you're going to pray and ask God to show you. Remember I said earlier, He's not trying to keep your purpose from you. You're going to start where you are doing small things, and you're just going to be faithful over those small things. And as you do that, you will begin living a fulfilled, purposeful life. It may start one moment at a time, one day at a time, one child at a time, one cause at a time, one person at a time, one organization at a time. But when you're faithful over the little small things, God would make you ruler over many. This has been a very powerful show. I want you to listen to it again and again. And I'm going to pray right now. Father God, I pray for everyone who's listening. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would direct them and open them up to all of the gifts, talents, skills, and abilities that they have on the inside of them. Give them specific directions as to how they can begin to move and walk in the purpose and the destiny that's on the inside of them. I thank you for everyone listening. Amen. Well, I also want to remind all of you that if you have any conferences coming up this year, church conferences, any large women's conferences, any leadership or training conferences, I would love to come and speak for you. I am an AKA, and I'm going to be speaking here in Atlanta to my sorority sisters, but my Delta sisters, I love you too. So email me. If you're on a committee, I would love to talk to you about coming to your next event and partnering with you to help to make it a success. Also, a quick reminder, please go to LOARadionetwork.com and listen to the other great hosts. We have some remarkable hosts who are just sharing some awesome information. Well, this is Constance Arlen, and I forgot to tell you that I love you, but you know that I do, and that God loves and adores you. Have a fantastic week, and remember this, the best is yet to come.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.